Everyone has an opinion when it comes to having a baby and raising kids. Just get the epidural. There's no prize for doing it natural. In my day, we just let the baby cry until they settle themselves down. Have you tried sage oil? And so many more comments, most of them unsolicited. Welcome to the Birth and Parenting Things podcast. My name is Kim, and I've got opinions too. I'm kind of an expert on birth. I've also managed to raise 3 babies into young adults. I'm here to offer evidence-based information, stories, personal experiences on birth, parenting, and everything in between. So let's do this. Hello, and welcome to Birth and Parenting Things podcast. I literally just had a stare down with my dog who looked like he was going to jump off the couch. And I said to him, all right, I'm going to hit record. Do you want to jump down from the couch? And he just looked at me blankly because he doesn't understand what I'm saying. And I gave it another few minutes. And then as soon as I hit record, he jumped down on the couch. So I don't know if you heard that, but it's just another one of those things that sends you into that, oh my God, really? kind of day. So happy new year. How is everybody doing? I want to first, just as a clean slate, I want to first apologize for, I didn't realize that in December, I actually posted the same, I may have even recorded them differently, but I probably recorded them similarly, the same topic, literally within a week of one another on natural induction techniques. And I 100% apologize for doing that. I always look to see what I did the week before just to make sure that I don't redo things. And yeah, I did it. And it is what it is. But that's that time of year. You're just, December is just a whirlwind of everything happening all at once. And then the holidays come. And then they go, and then you chill for a bit, and then January comes, and it feels like the pressures of the world are on you to do all these big things, to do things right, and to make resolutions and all this stuff. And I think I probably mentioned I don't make resolutions. I have, you know, priorities that I want to focus on, but they're not resolutions per se. However, there, I guess, last week, my body decided that I did need to have some resolutions and kicked me in the butt to actually look at my health a little bit more seriously. I had some heart issues, and I'm going to see a cardiologist next week. And as a result, had some blood tests done, which also pointed to 2 other issues that I have. So I've been skating by the skin of my teeth for the last few years, as far as my health goes. I keep saying to myself, I'm good, I'm healthy, there's nothing wrong with me. I don't, besides having sciatica, I feel like I'm 80 years old every time I say that, but I'm not. And yeah, so on top of having sciatica, and I think part of the issues of one of the things I have is taking pain medication for it, which has caused some issues with my liver, which you think would be ridiculous given that I actually don't drink. I haven't actually had any alcohol. I gave up alcohol about 9.5 years ago. And I had a glass of wine every now and then, periodically, maybe at Christmas time or birthday or something like that. But last year I gave it up completely. So I didn't have any alcohol this Christmas. So yeah, liver issues without being an alcoholic. So that's fun. So yeah, I have been forced to make some resolutions and stick to them because I do not want to be ill. I fought so hard not to get COVID, but now all this other stuff is happening. So it is what it is, but I want to be able to be there for my kids. And I think one of the things that happens, especially when you're a parent and when you're the primary parent, you tend to ignore your own issues. You tend to ignore your own health. You ignore your own mental health, and you just keep doing and doing and doing for everybody else. And you can't do that. You have to look after yourself first. And I preach this left, right, and center to the new parents that I work with. But it's one of those do as I say, not as I do kind of things, I suppose. So, yeah, I've had my ass thoroughly kicked. And, yeah, we'll see how the rest of it plays out. I've got to lose 20 pounds, which is not a bad thing. It's just it's very difficult for me because I hate vegetables. Freaking hate vegetables, and I hate cooking. I hate this stuff. I don't know, maybe if I get a new kitchen, I'll enjoy cooking a little bit more, but I literally hate cooking. It's the worst. I know all the people out there are like, oh, cooking is so great, and da-da-da-da-da, but I'm the worst at it, and I hate it. So, yeah, it's literally the bane of my existence. I'd literally rather just throw in a microwave dinner and move on with my life. If my kids weren't here, I literally would not cook every night at all. And it's funny, my mom, who I just spoke to her this morning, my mom, who is a great cook and she loves cooking, she was having some difficulties last year before her hip surgery with standing and cooking for, you know, long periods of time. But that's been fixed. But she told me this morning, she goes, last night I just didn't feel like cooking, just like one person, I just didn't feel like doing it. So for dinner, I had chocolate cake and ice cream with raspberries. And I go, oh my God. I go, that's not necessary. I mean, don't do that every night. But she's 80 years old, or at least she's going to be next in 2 weeks. She's 80 years old. The woman's allowed to have cake and ice cream for dinner if she wants to. So I tried to assure her that the raspberries were good. At least she had a fruit in there. And, you know, just don't do it every night. But I'd rather she be eating something than eating nothing, because that was an issue when she had her hip problems. So she had lost a significant amount of weight from just not eating. And that can be a problem when, you know, you're living alone and you're in pain, and being in pain is exhausting. So, yeah, that's kind of how my New Year started, which is not great. But let's get into this. So I thought I'd start a series on, and I started a series in my newsletter. I thought I'd do a series on must-haves for your newborn and what your baby needs. So this week we're going to do, again, just short, quick, and dirty. We don't have time as parents to do a lot of things, so I just try to make these as short as possible. So the first topic is going to be diapering. What do we need for diapering your baby? I'm going to do dressing next week. I was going to do them together, but that was a lot of information. So I'll do dressing next week. But with diapers, you may think that babies will use a ton of diapers, and you're not wrong. But when it comes to newborn diapers, so little baby newborn diapers, you're not going to need a lot of those, because those, in essence, will fit your baby up to 10 pounds. I would say once your baby hits 9.5 pounds, those things aren't going to really be all that helpful anymore. And as someone who had like an almost 10 pound baby, he was barely in the newborn diapers. He was maybe in them for a week, but he was also in the NICU. So he wasn't really being picked up and held and all sorts of stuff happening. So he moved into size ones fairly quickly. So if you're being, you know, your baby is measuring small. We talked about this last night in my infant care class. Someone was having a baby who was in the 97th percentile. So for them, it's like, yeah, you're probably not going to buy a ton of newborn diapers. I would start with two packages, and then let's see what happens beyond that. And in the first week, you're going to be building up to how many? So as far as diapers go in the first week, we're basically looking at one wet diaper on day one, two on day two, three on day three, four on day four, five on day five, six on day six, until usually by the end of the first week, we're looking at about 6 to 8 wet diapers. And there's going to be poopy diapers in there as well. So you may be looking at maybe 10 diapers a day. So I would start with maybe two or actually, now that I think about it, two or three packages of newborn diapers, and let's see how that plays out. There was also somebody in the class who was going to be induced probably because their baby was in the 10th percentile. So their baby was actually quite small. So in that case, newborn diapers might be too big. So I suggested buying one package of newborn diapers, and if they could find it, maybe a package of preemie diapers, because those will go, I think they go up to 8 pounds, I think, like 5 to 8 pounds. So they might be a better option for them. So again, buy one or two packages of preemie diapers and then newborn after that. So it's all going to depend really on sort of how big we're expecting your baby to be. Now, keeping in mind that ultrasounds are always notoriously wrong and they could be off by a pound or two, but a pound or two isn't going to make a huge amount of difference when we're talking about newborn diapers. But definitely don't stock up on them, because you're not going to need that many of the newborn ones. Because once babies are on the outside and they start feeding, they kind of start to grow exponentially at that point, and you'll probably be in size one sooner than you think. So if you have space to store, I wouldn't stock up on newborn ones. And if you have any newborn unopened packages of newborn diapers because you did buy too many, then I highly encourage you to donate those to the food bank or a woman's shelter or things like that, where they can be really well accepted and used, because those are things that aren't often donated when it comes to shelters and food banks and stuff, right? Now, on top of having a diaper, you're also going to need wipes. So what you'll consider what you're going to want to use for wipes. Commercial brand wipes can contain chemicals. We know this. So Pampers, Huggies, things like that. If that concerns you, no problem. But you can also use, very commonly used nowadays, is dampened baby washcloth. Oftentimes, especially for showers and stuff like that, we'll often get like tons of baby washcloths. So having a stack of those at your diaper station, and you can just wet one or two before you, you know, especially if it's a blowout diaper, you can wet one or two of them beforehand. You'll also want to have some of those baby washcloths there also for a couple of other reasons. One will be at the diaper station. One will be to just place that over top of your baby's genitals. Little boys and little girls, it's like as soon as their goods hit air, they will start to pee, even if they've just peed. So that, I think it's the cold. So what some people will do also is, if you have one of those wet wipes, is just run it along the the band of the diaper along their belly button, just under their belly button, and that will sometimes make them pee. So some way to help reduce the getting peed on. So put a cloth over their goods and just give them a little cold wipe along the band of their belly with the diaper, and that can, you know, help with that. You could also, as far as wipes go, you could also use wet paper towel. There are definitely Pinterest recipes and whatnot for making your own wipes. In a pinch, back in the day, we used to use wet paper towels if we'd run out of wipes and things like that. And again, they're more biodegradable and things like that. Some people will make their own wipes that way and put in like essential oils or things like that, which you can totally do. But dunna, you can make your own wipes with, you know, just some cheap paper towel. Commercial brand water wipes, these will have less chemicals, but I don't believe they have zero chemicals. And if they do, you know, correct me if I'm wrong. But what I will say, irregardless of what you're using, either the commercial brand regular wipes or the water wipes, what you're going to want to do is make sure that you dry off baby's bum really, really well, which is another using those baby washcloths there in your diaper station can help too, to just dry off baby's bums so that any residue that's left behind, once you put on the barrier cream, which we'll talk about in a second, but once you put on the barrier cream, it's not going to cause, that can potentially cause a rash if there's any residue left behind. So we want to make sure we're cleaning baby's area really, really well, and that we're drying it off really well afterwards before we put on the barrier bum cream. Okay. So speaking of barrier bum cream, you have lots of options when it comes to this, but they're basically designed to be used in the beginning when baby's got this black, sticky, nasty poop that you're going to have. Once the poop changes to that eventual thinner, yellowy, bright yellow French's mustard poop, you don't necessarily need to use the barrier cream anymore unless your baby is particularly sensitive to wetness on their tender skin, and you may have to trial and error and see what happens, right? So options for bum cream, very commonly used still is Vaseline, but as I say, make sure that you clean and dry baby's bum really, really well, because the Vaseline is very thick and it will, if there is any residue, doesn't breathe, it could basically adhere it to baby's bum and that could cause a rash. There are organic baby bum creams that you can use, and these will be better for baby skin, but they can also come at a higher price point. So these can often be a little bit more expensive. And you will be changing baby's bum 6 to 8 times a day, so the cost can kind of add up. Another option that you can use is coconut oil, and this will be more organic, easier to use than other oils, and make cleanup of those poopy diapers a little bit easier. You can also use coconut oil for other things, including their flaky skin and cradle cap, but just keep an eye for any allergic reactions such as rash. And if you are worried that it is causing a rash and there is an allergy, then maybe we'll discontinue the use of it and try something else, okay? You're also going to need, and people will often forget this, you will also need somewhere to change them. A waterproof change pad is going to be important. In the early days, you may be changing baby wherever you happen to be in the house, and that's great. I don't want you traveling all over Hell's Half Acre to change this baby. It's always good to have, if you live in a larger home with multiple levels, you're going to want to have multiple diaper stations around the house, and in that, you're going to have a waterproof pad to lay baby down on. Because even if you think baby has finished their business, sometimes as soon as the diaper opened up, they will pee again. And with little boys, they will pee straight up. Little girls will pee off to the side. So it doesn't matter what kind of baby you have, you will likely get peed on. All right. You are also going to want to have a diaper bin, a place to put your used diapers. It's very common to purchase or be gifted a diaper genie, and the thing with the diaper genie, though, is these will require expensive bag cartridge replacements. If you're exclusively feeding baby from your body, you won't necessarily have to worry about the smell until baby starts consuming solids. So that could mean that you could simply get away with using a small green bin pail. And the green bins, if you are in the GTA or a metropolitan area and you live in a home where your green garbage is picked up on a weekly basis, oftentimes I know in Toronto, the diapers can go in the green bin. And it isn't that they do anything special with these diapers, they just pick them up every week. So instead of having dirty diapers in your garbage for 2 weeks, because they pick up the garbage and recycle on opposite weeks, it would mean that you would be able to get rid of them on a weekly basis as opposed to every 2 weeks. So if you are going to go the diaper genie route, no problem. That can be very helpful. But as I say, if you're exclusively feeding baby from your body, their poop actually isn't going to smell all that bad. So you probably don't have to worry about the smell. And just, you know, empty out that green pail in baby's room or wherever more frequently. All right, now let's look at more tips for diapering. So as mentioned, if you live in a multi-level home, consider creating diaper stations around the house to limit your movement, especially in those first few weeks when you're trying to recover. Remember to open up the front of the diaper as well as the back of the diaper when you're putting a new one on. Just open it all up. Oftentimes we open up the back and then we open up the front afterwards, and then maybe the leg part is still kind of not opened up completely, and that can cause some leakage. So open the entire diaper up from front to back to make sure that it is going in and pulling out the little frills on the legs to prevent any leakage. Always wipe from front to back. If you have to go over the urethra or the tip of the penis, just make sure that you're using a clean part of the cloth, because we don't want to cause baby to have any UTIs. Do not, under any circumstances, use baby powder or cornstarch. I know the grandmas and the aunties will all tell you you need it, but you actually don't. The cornstarch and whatnot was used very frequently when diapers were not that absorbent, but nowadays they're ridiculously absorbent, so we don't need to use those. And the problem with baby powder and cornstarch is it's very powdery and it can get into the air, and if your baby breathes it in, it can be a suffocation hazard. So if we breathe it in, we will cough and our lungs will expel it and we'll be good. But baby's lungs are a lot smaller for the size of molecules that are in the baby powder and the cornstarch. So it can actually be a suffocation hazard. So we don't need the baby powder. We don't need the cornstarch. Don't worry about it. Consider, as I said, placing a washcloth over baby's genitals so that you don't get peed on. Sometimes, especially if you're having a baby boy, your friends will buy you a pee-pee-teepee, which is basically a little circular cone to put over baby's penis. They're cute, but they're not necessarily that good, because they can, instead of staying in place, they can actually just make really good rockets, depending on the force of pee that comes out. So using a washcloth is probably a better option. Consider having a toy handy or colorful geometric pictures nearby to distract your baby while you're changing their diaper. This is obviously not necessarily necessary for the early days, when babies are, you know, really just kind of in shock of everything that's just happened to them. But as baby gets a little more aware of their surroundings, sometimes diaper changes can be a bit of a pain in the butt in keeping your baby in one place. So having something to distract them while you're doing it is good. And I always suggest, talk to your baby while you're doing this task. Changing them, especially in the very beginning, feels like torture. They hate having their diaper changed. And why would they? This is all brand new to them and it's annoying. So talk to them, walk them through what you're doing. It doesn't have to be, you don't have to say magical things or anything. Just tell them what you're doing. They love the sound of your voice, and that's all we're really looking for, is a nice calm voice to walk them through the process and make the whole situation less irritating for your baby. And that also means that maybe they'll cry less. All right, that's kind of it for diapering. If you have any, If you have any other tips and tricks that you want to share about diapering, I'd love to hear them. You can email me at birthandparentythings@gmail.com. Love to hear them. And maybe I'll shout them out on the episode. And yeah, that's it. So if you want to learn more about baby diapering, dressing, all the things, I do have an infant care class. I'll put the link in the show notes, but I do have an infant care class that is available. It's a virtual self-paced. You have access to it for 6 months, and it will have, you know, what baby looks like and why they look so weird, and why these things are normal for them, and diapering and dressing, and soothing and swaddling, and sleeping, why your baby isn't sleeping 8-12 hours a night, and a whole lot more. So if you want to look into that, I have those classes available on my Thinkific account, and as I say, I'll put the link in the show notes and you can go check that out. All right, I hope everybody has a really great day, and I hope your January is working out better than mine is. Fingers crossed. I will update you next week. I will have been to the cardiologist at that point, so we'll update you and let you know how that's going. All right. Have a good one, everybody. Bye.